Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast.
Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome back to another episode. Welcome to Sunday. I hope you're enjoying these podcasts. I'm so grateful whenever you recommend these to your friends and your family. I do hope that these spur on some deep, meaningful conversation that ultimately transforms and changes. That's the goal here, and I'm really glad you're here today. You know, there's something that's been on my mind a lot. It weighs on my heart quite a bit. It's probably the same for you as well. The issue I want to talk to you about is healing. What about healing? I mean, we kind of go through life just assuming either healing just happens, or when we need healing, we just go to our doctor. But what about healing? You see, I believe there's something going on that we need to really get our heads around. And to be honest, religious institutions and leaders and organizations are not really helping us or leading us like they used to. And I think there's a reason for that. I'm going to talk about it. So today we're going to talk about what is healing. Man, I feel this deeply. I feel like our world really needs help. I mean, the global amount of human suffering is astounding. Just the physical pain and illness and disease that's throughout our world boggles my mind. And so what are we to really believe? That there's just so much disease and not enough cure? I mean, are some things just beyond healing? Are we just supposed to accept the fact that some people aren't getting healed? Some emotions will never be healed. Some problems will never be fixed. Or is it true that all things are possible? Right? Is faith meaningful? Does faith still have a belief that all things are possible? Shouldn't faith believe that with God all things are possible? And so where is that? Where do we find that? And how does it fit within healing? And I think the best way to kind of look at some of this is to just look at how do we as modern people approach healing? You see, the modern world's approach to healing is traditional medical intervention. It's medicine. You go to the doctor. And contemporary society has essentially abdicated their healing. In other words, well, I can't figure this out. I'm sick. I need to abdicate my sickness and healing to a medical authority, to a doctor or a scientific tribal elder, so to speak. Right? These are the people who diagnose our problems. They have all the tests. They have all of the tools to figure out what's going on with us. And then once they diagnose the problem, they give it the prescribed therapy. And every problem has a prescribed therapy. Well, when you have a cold, you know, you get, you know, a drug. When you have another issue, you get another issue. It might be a surgical intervention. It might be radiation. It might be chemo. It might be something else, right? Every therapy is a prescribed therapy. And it's all broken down based on what part of you is going wrong. And you see, the religion of science, and I use that term very particularly, hopefully to kind of shock you into being awake. But the religion of science is driven by data, right? Hard, cold facts, data. And medical healing really employs a strategy of numerical statistics. If you don't know that by now, you need to know that. that out of the 10,000 people that have your ailment, 9,000 respond to this particular treatment in a favorable way. They're not talking about the 1,000 who don't respond in a favorable way. Therefore, the 9,000 is the game of statistics. And we're going to guess that you're just like one of the 9,000, hopefully, and you're going to get this therapy. It's always a game of statistics and data and numbers. Mathematics drives modern medicine. And these data are usually provided by the commercial entities, companies, that want to promote their solution for healing. So they see a market cap, right? A bucket of business, which is a certain group of sick people. And they go after that big bucket of sick people. They say, we're going to come up with a solution. They come up with a solution. They have data that supports their solution. And it gets passed around and sold and adopted. And you see, best practice in medical intervention is shaped by a consortium of the most influential commercial offerings that bring the most convincing data to the marketplace. Okay? Now, I know this. I've been in the industry for 15 years, and I have watched it time and time again. This is how medicine is done. And healing is really a dance between data, money, and medicine. So you look at those three things, and you're going to see what drives modern medicine. They're going to focus all their dollars on curing the disease that impacts the most number of people. Why? Because those dollars have a bigger benefit for a wider disease, a wider reach of the disease, and a wider reach of the disease is also a larger market cap. Okay? Now, that's the medical intervention that we all just defunct to. It's our default mode. We go to a doctor. We adopt modern medical healing. But there is another trend we see growing very rapidly called alternative healing. And these practices are gaining ground in part due to the increasing skepticism of the commercialization of medicine and its statistical approach, right? Alternative healing is not so much about you're just a number as much as it's focusing on your bio-individuality. It's really taking a consideration of what makes you you. How do you personally respond to certain things? And, you know, alternative healing focuses on a holistic solution rather than an isolated, compartmentalized therapy, right? A therapy treats the problem. A holistic solution treats the whole health surrounding you, right? So if you can focus on staying healthy, you actually treat disease by being, you know, treat your healing. And, you know, it views each person as unique. Like I said, we're an amalgam of multi-dimensions. There's integrated systemic healing strategies that come about from these types of programs. And, you know, they offer natural supplements, which instead of medicine and pharmaceuticals and things like that. And many of these are proving as effective as traditional medicine for many ailments. Not all ailments, no, but for some. And alternative healing is really about a lifestyle change. It's really about a paradigm shift. And this is important. It really shifts a lot of the healing back onto the individual. And I even see this in modern medical treatments as well. They're trying to get the patients more actively involved in their healing. I think this is the right direction. But alternative healing is really about that. It's really about lifestyle change. And, you know, interestingly, the data-dominant medical authority just diminishes often the claims of alternative healing. They see them as unscientific or anecdotal, and they don't value them as well. And that's in part because these are not the perspectives of the large companies that fund the studies. So of course they're going to be diminishing of certain claims. Now, not all claims are going to be equal, so you need to be buyer beware when it comes to alternative healing. Now, I want to talk about the next kind of healing, and this is an interesting proposition. This is faith healing. Faith healing, we've seen in TV and evangelists, you know, we see the Benny Hinn kind of ministries. And these guys and women, they can raise hundreds of millions of dollars on television. They can fill stadiums with people for their services. But I've never seen one go into an oncology clinic or a pediatric center in a hospital and just clear out all the people. I've never seen them just wave their arm and watch all the people get out of the chemo chair. They wave their arm and the people fall down in the stadium, but they don't wave their arm and all the sick kids get out of bed. And we know that faith healers have been debunked by a number of people as frauds. But does that mean miraculous healing cannot happen? You see, I don't think so. And while, yes, some of them are fraudulent and misleading for the purpose of their own economic gain, I do believe there's a sincere movement of faith healing that takes place that we need to be mindful of. And even a scientific study has what it's called a placebo arm. And in a placebo arm is another way of measuring the faith effect to healing. In other words, when a person gets a sugar pill instead of the drug, but they think they're getting the drug, their faith in the drug to heal them actually has an effect on their healing. And many times, placebo is as effective as the drug. And that may not mean that the drug has no benefit. It simply means that in certain types of disease, placebo or faith is profoundly healing. Now, within faith healers, there's another very interesting divide. And in my research over the past few weeks, I've discovered that, you know, a lot of fundamental Christian community known as the Gospel Coalition, they have adopted a very pessimistic philosophy, I think, and that is that of cessationist. What's a cessationist? Well, that means that healing miracles stopped when the early church was launched, right? So yes, Jesus healed. Sure, the apostles had some healing gifts and ministry, but shortly after that, they stopped. And they basically concede that, you know, if God wants to heal somebody, he can, but they don't believe healing miracles still exist outside of modern medicine. Now, that's really ironic to me. It's a really curious, strange thing to me, because the Gospel Coalition are known as for their very literal and fundamental approach to interpreting the scripture. And so these are the people who are going to be the first ones on Facebook and everywhere else to say, hey, my thoughts and prayers are with you. I will be praying for you. But if at the fundamental core, they don't actually believe that there is a real healing, what are they praying for? Right? Such faithless prayers are really the truly empty sentiments that we all complain about. Right. These are the folks who interpret the Bible literally, as I said, when it's convenient, but they are ignoring the teachings of Jesus in Scripture about how we can literally move a mountain if we ask in faith. And that the teachings in Scripture about how faith in God can heal, can transform, can change. You can do all things are possible with God. Now that is amazing. And so while the Pentecostals get a bad rap because that's usually the camp where these, you know, faith healers emerge out of, they might get a bad rap because of some of the more extreme pictures of it. But I do commend them for their fidelity to the faith that God can and still does heal the sick, at least when they pray. They pray the James 5:15 prayer that's powerful and effective. It's a prayer of faith. They truly believe it's going to happen. Otherwise, they wouldn't put healing as part of their church service. And so I respect that. Now, this really starts us on a new path, doesn't it? Because we've seemingly gone from science to alternative medicine into faith. But now we see this trend emerging in quantum science, and it's moving back into faith. And science knows that awareness alters the material particles in the quantum space, right? This quantum universe, when you observe a photon, it changes. And when you move your awareness away, it changes back. And a corresponding particle responds regardless of time or space, always, immediately. And so what quantum science is really saying is that all particles are interconnected, which gives way to a singular universe, all together, one piece, one thing, rather than a diverse, which is what we've been taught, right? Medical science says we're just a bunch of pieces, so let's treat the piece. Quantum science says we're all one flow of energy, let's focus on that. And so healing is now a holistic form in the cosmic sense from quantum science. And this really reopens the faith healing paradigm. I mean, mere awareness of another person's sickness actually alters our combined quantum fields of interconnected particles. Think about that. So sending thoughts and prayers may no longer just be a pithy statement. It might actually be an alteration in the flow of our entangled cosmos. You see, the more awareness we have of a person's ailment, the more we bring that consciousness into it, we feel it, we embody it, we take it on in contemplation and consideration, the more entangled we are with those particles. And if a great vast number of people are entangled, it makes great sense on how healing can take place in the quantum world. And so the more awareness, the more faith, shall I say, the more entangled we are. So has science really just uncovered the mechanics of prayer? I think so. I think we're seeing this over and over again where science and faith are moving in the same direction. But here's the key. When it comes to healing, whether it's traditional, alternative, quantum entanglement, whether it's a placebo, whether it's religious engagement, or whether our healing is, you know, from a faith perspective, no matter what it is, whether our healing is bodily, whether it's emotional, spiritual, or systemic, it requires something of us. And that is the vital key. Healing requires participation. Healing requires participation. Now, scripture depicts Jesus as a healer to all comers. You see this in Matthew and all the gospels throughout. He heals them all. It literally says he went to their town and he healed them all. And he healed all of their ailments. I mean, it's amazing. Now, the more I study healing, the more I'm in the healing sciences for work every day, and the more I study it in scripture, the more I'm convinced it is not an end in itself. And this is where I want to take you to a new place. Healing is a means to an end. Healing is a means to liberation and freedom, which is really the goal of the gospel, Isaiah 61, Luke 4, 18. You see, this means that healing is a daily practice of participation. Whether you're sick or not, healing is a practice. Healing is daily participation. Healing is a conscious engagement in how we live. Healing is consciously being aware of how you eat, what you eat, how you're hand goes to your mouth. That is a spiritual practice. The plate to the mouth is a spiritual practice. Either you are unconscious and just following an appetite, making yourself ill, or you are consciously engaged in the practice of healing by making the right choices for your body. It's a consciousness thing. It's the elevation of consciousness. Healing is the elevation of consciousness or truth that actually frees us, like it says in John 8:32. Healing is not just an event, nor is it the time of recuperation. You see, that's the problem with our modern paradigms. It just says healing is the season of when you're broken until you're not broken anymore. We are not passengers to healing. Healing is the intentional daily engagement of surrendering our frailties and plumbing the depths of our irrelevance so that we can find our relevance back in God. That's what provides us with liberation. And see, whether we are sick or well, none of us are completely whole. None of us can escape this inevitable, disconnected terminus within our corporeality. What does that mean? We're all going to die. And when we die, there's a place where we know we're going to be disconnected. Each ailment along the way of our life, every cold you get, every injury you have, every complication, every surgery, every sickness is a pause button. It's designed to unite us into the daily healing process. See, healing is a daily process. It's engagement. It's our participation in life. And see, each night when we wrap ourselves in our bedcloths, in our sheets, these are wrapping us up like grave clothes, preparing us incrementally for the unconsummated healing that is ever before us. You see, each night you practice dying, wrapping yourself up, and you close your eyes and you lose your consciousness. And in the morning, you regain your consciousness and have to reorient yourself. You orient yourself in your body back into your life, back into the day of the week that you couldn't even figure out moments before. You see, this is the moment of healing. Each choice is one of healing and liberation or sickness and bondage. But no matter what it is, we have to participate in our part of it. Healing, then, does not remove sickness as much as we think it does. It certainly doesn't remove death, and nor will it remove dying. It doesn't necessarily prolong life either. Healing, then, is that sweet communion that makes both life and death lose their distracting power. Now, if we understand that level of healing, then something new can emerge. And I'm convinced if we find healing at this level, then our minds, our bodies, and our world will follow.
Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.